to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is Bicycle Talk, episode 400. Oh my gosh, I just hit another landmark. To be broadcast on Wednesday, June 19th, 2024, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's rallying her show together to get it going because she's got to do some stuff today, so I'm without her. So if you'd like to leave comments, you can certainly leave comments down here in the bottom of this video. I will try to get back to you, but I can't promise you anything. But I will get back to you at a later time, and you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, especially if you're listening on an audio file. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to comment or contribute information to the show, drop me an email, bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Hey, when the sign says no motorized vehicles, they're not talking about e-bikes, but motorcycles. Please keep your motorcycles off the bike trails. Yeah, we had a quad experience yesterday on the airline trail when we were riding back from the coffee shop. And, you know, it's just annoying, that's all. I mean, the guy was nice enough about it. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, moving on. Congressional watchdog launches probe into why massive cars kill so many pedestrians and cyclists. Well, about time. Anyway, if the National Highway Traffic Safety Association won't get to the bottom of the megacar crisis on their own, the investigative arm of Congress will. Talk a little bit more about that in the show. That's kind of cool. And shout out to Governor Kathy Hochul and MTA Chair and CEO Jano Lieber at the Brooklyn Army Terminal on Thursday, January 20th, 2022, where they announced the completion of a feasibility study on the proposed Interborough Express. And here's why we will never move forward on bicycles for transportation. Yeah, she canned it last week. They were going to do essentially what's going to happen is there was going to be an additional parking tax for bringing your car into the city, depending on where you were going, to try to cut down on the congestion in the city. And she nixed it. So, you know what? You just made the demerit list in Bicycle Talk land. Not good. You were heading in the right direction, and then you went the other way. We'll talk a little more about that in the show, too. Positive side. Hey, happy Father's Day, a day late. Okay, yesterday was Father's Day, and shout out to my son Greg, who gave me a call, and he called me, of course, he always calls me when I'm on my bike, but no big deal. I was on my bicycle, and I was riding back from the coffee shop. Fran and I had ridden into Willimantic to deliver some goods to some friends, and then also went to the coffee shop to hang out and drink coffee. It's kind of a Sunday thing we like to do. Big shout out to Grounded Coffee in Willimantic. Like those guys. Great little coffee shop, nice little outdoor patio in the back. Really, just really pleasant. Bike racks are right there. It's perfect. It's really a great spot. Shout out to them. Don't usually shout out businesses, but you know, when they're bicycle friendly, you got to. You just got to. If you have a bicycle friendly business that you'd like to have shouted out, talk to me. I'll do that. So anyway, the reason why I wanted to say happy Father's Day is because while we were there, there was a father, okay, who was there with his son, who was there with his sons and his wife, and they had pedaled in from Andover on the rail trail, and they'd come down to Grounded Coffee to have a coffee, and then they were pedaling back. The father was pulling the trailer that he used to pull his son in, but now he had his grandchildren in. How cool is that? Is that like not the coolest thing? That's like a Bicycle Talk moment, you know? It's just perfect. I love it when I see that. And they were just enjoying the lovely day, and we had a really nice conversation with them, and they were getting ready to leave as shortly after we had gotten there. But, you know, we did have a really pleasant conversation with them, and it was just so cool to see that here's this dad, and he's passing down the whole cycling thing, generation to the next generation, to the next generation, really, as you look at it. He had his grandkids with him. How cool is that? Happy Father's Day. Good thing. I have to mention this even over the rant, by the way, because I did mention yesterday that Rand and I were on the airline trail where he encountered a young man on a quad. He had reached a locked gate and realized he wasn't going to get through. So after having a friendly but pointed conversation with him, he actually apologized for being on the trail and not understanding. Very impressive. Good. So he got it. He figured it out. Yeah, you're not supposed to be there. And I told him that. I said, you know, you're really not supposed to be here. So that's, you know, the good news is other times I've had encounters with people on motorcycles or quads, they have then ripped it out and ripped up the trail and done all sorts of aggressive and stupid things. And he just putted off nice and slow and was very respectful, waved to us and left. So that's cool. That's cool. I can deal with that. I can even deal with them being on the trail if they're trying to get from one place to another place. Just don't rip it up. Just don't destroy it. You know, that just makes no sense whatsoever. And I know there's a lot of places back off of the airline trail where, you know, there are places where motorcycles and quads like to ride. And, you know, if you need to use the trail to get from one point to another point, that's great. Just go slow and don't rip it up. Don't tear around like you're some sort of crazy person and you know, race down the rail trail. Just be sensible about it. Really not supposed to be there, but that's another story. We're going to move on to a few more things. So the Tour de Suisse. Yeah, anybody watching the Tour de Suisse? Yeah, it's the Tour of Switzerland. It's another one of those pre-Tour de France races where the teams get out and they kind of test the participants on their team to see who they're going to send to the Tour de France, because the Tour de France is the biggie, and not that the Tour of Italy was not big, but anyway, gotta shout out here to Team UAE. Boy, they look strong. They look real strong. That means that Tadej Pogačar's got the A team coming to the Tour de France. And what we saw in the Tour de Suisse was very impressive. So I'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later in the show. And I know it's not bicycles, but it looks like Dan Hurley is staying at UConn. Phew. Go Dan, go Huskies. I know, I'm a big basketball fan. I can't help it. You kind of, it's in the water out here. You know, it's like you drink the water and you gotta go be a UConn fan. That's all there is to it. We had a little discussion and scare there where Dan was looking at being recruited heavily by the LA Lakers to become their next coach after winning two national championships back to back. And the good news is he's not ready to do that yet. He's got other hills to climb, as we say in cycling, before he gets there. So we're real happy to have him back. If for some reason, some way, somehow, someone says, hey, there's this guy, has a show called Bicycle Talk, he shouted you out, we're really glad you stayed, Dan. We really are. I love watching what you do. I love how tight you run that team. I love how the personalities of the team all mesh together nicely. You're doing the right thing. You're not playing around with the hotheads. You're playing around with kids that learn how to actually work together. It's a good life lesson. Good thing. Used to do the same thing when I was training kids on bikes, too. Same thing. Okay, we're going to go on to the Mechanical Minute and Ron's tips for the week. And this one gets interesting. Should you ride your road bike on gravel? Well, you know, before you think about heading off in the beaten track on your road bike, you might want to think about how hard you can push things before you go there and break things. So, should you ride your road bike on gravel? Probably shouldn't, but you can. And that's the whole point. So road bikes are a lot more sturdier than you might think. This came from GCN. By the way, GCN, see this, GCN? GCN just, there's another thing that was on my list here. Did I mention it yet? I don't know that I did. Oh, GCN, yeah, I go back to positive side, is back to original owners. The founders bought GCN back from Warner Brothers Discovery. So, you know all that cool bike racing we saw on GCN last year, and then all of a sudden it vaporized? Well, guess what? GCN is back. So I hope so. I really like these guys. They're a British group. They're a bunch of old British, not old, sometimes young, British pros. And they're just very entertaining. If you're a bike geek like I am, you enjoy them. They're a lot of fun. They've got great videos. They've got lots of tips and information, of which I am going right back to, should you ride a road bike on gravel. So as they said, it's, you know, they're pretty rugged, and I'm a big road bike everywhere kind of fan. I will ride on gravel. I will ride on the road. I will ride across someone's front yard. I just ride my bike. And you know, the more, since I've been doing it for a long time, I've got a lot of experience with handling my bike in situations where it's probably not the best place to be. But I've done that. And what are unmodified road bikes capable of? So, yeah, you know, they're surprisingly capable, according to this article, especially if you're giving them for free. So somebody gives you an old road bike and they say, hey, ride this on the gravel. You know, you might just be able to do it. The thing is, you need to look at a few things, and there are some things you can do, which, you know, it's not unmodified, slightly modified. Just put a wider tire on, if you can, if the bike has the capability to do that. And you'd be really surprised at where you can go with the bike. I mean, it really isn't that big a deal. So long-term serious off-road riding can cause damage, though. So riding your road bike is on rough, rutted paths and single-track trails puts a lot of stress on your bike. Big impacts from rocks and holes or drops will test the junctions of your frame, and your wheels might get dinged up or put out of true by hitting rough surfaces on skinny tires. So, and then, of course, there is a risk of crashing it because it's not going to be as stable as a cyclocross bike or a gravel bike would be. But the question is, can you do it? Yeah. The answer is yeah, you can do it. But there are definitely differences between a road bike and a gravel bike. And the gravel bikes tend to be a little bit more stable. They tend to run a wider tire and the capability of riding a wider tire, which is nice. But, you know, even the newer road bikes will hold a 32 millimeter tire without any trouble. So the biggest difference is sometimes tire clearance, but at the same time, you know, you can put a fatter tire on. I can run up to, well, I know I have 28s on one of my bikes. I think I could put 32s on. I haven't played with that yet. I got a set of tires on order I'm going to play around with, see if I can get 32s on. Because if you can fit a 32 millimeter tire on your bike, you can really just, it's a game changer. It just makes the bike a lot more comfortable, not to mention the efficiency level of the bike too changes. It actually is better because you're not getting beat up as much. So that's kind of a cool thing. So it's, you know, the wider tires are very popular right now, which is why I've got some on order, because they're not really easy to get your hands on. They tend to be so popular that they are out of stock often. But anyway, we're going to play around with it. I'll let you know. I've got a couple of bikes in the fleet. And of course, I also have a couple of steel bikes in the fleet, as well as a carbon bike. I don't think my carbon bike will handle a 32C tire. I'm not sure I can put that on the Bianchi. It'd be real tight. Even the 28s are pretty tight. Even my friend from Bianchi, Will, who was working for Bianchi at the time, he saw me at an event and he said, what size tires are you got on that bike? And I said, they're 28s. He said, you can't put 28s on that bike. I said, yes, I can. Take a look. And he looked, and sure enough, there they were. So not everybody's 28C tires the same as one another. That is another thing you look at. You look at, I'm running Vittorias on mine, and they fit fine. But, you know, some manufacturers make their tire is a little bit different spec, and so therefore you can get a different fit. But if you can go with a little bit more of a wide tire, it makes a difference. So geometry is another big kicker right here. So the geometry on a road bike is going to be a little bit more aggressive than the geometry on something you're going to be riding on gravel. And if you have the ability to handle your machine on rough surfaces, even like bumpy roads, and you're not intimidated by that, then certainly you can go on a gravel road. You know, one of my friends says, I knew I wasn't on a Ron ride because there was no gravel involved. I love gravel roads. You're out riding your bike, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you look and you go, oh, that's a cool road. It goes over to that road over there, and it's really neat. And so I'll just immediately take a turn, and everybody will go, oh, Ron, what are you doing? And it's like, just ride your bike. Don't worry about it. It's not a bad road. It's really not that bad. And this, here comes an outstanding comment, which will be quoted for years. There are no bad roads. There are just bad road bike ride. There are just bad riders or whatever. No bad gravel roads, just bad gravel road riders. Let's say that. All right. I'll refine that a little bit. That's almost t-shirt worthy, isn't it? Anyway, so you need to understand a few things when you're riding your road bike on the gravel. You need to kind of shift your weight a little bit different, maybe just certainly respect the speed on a gravel road. You're not going to be going as fast on a gravel road as you are on a paved road. You got to watch that. And then my big thing is watching the surface in front of me, not just by, you know, where the bumps, rocks, and potholes are, but I'm also looking for the color of the gravel. Okay. You may ask, that seems kind of weird. What are you talking about? The lighter the color is of the gravel, the more chance you have of soft sand. The darker the color is, the more chance you have of a hard packed surface. So little tips from Ron, you always get them here. So the answer is, with these guys, it's, you know, yeah, you can do it, but the construction of your bike really isn't made for that, so don't do it a lot. But you can do it. You can certainly do it. So in summary, yes, you can take a bike. This is their summary. Yes, you can take a road bike off-road, but some caution is required if you want to keep your pride and joy in top condition. Be mindful of the limits of the road bike. Be aware of the handling issues the road bike presents on rough ground, and steer clear of anything too gnarly. You know the limits and capabilities of your bike. All that's left to do is head off the tarmac and enjoy. So, yeah. I'm one of those guys. I the road's the roads. It gets you where you want to go, so you're going to do that. So why do I like gravel riding? I gotta say, gravel riding is good for everyone. And here's why. A lot of people will have to invest in another bike, or maybe they have an old cyclocross bike. Maybe you have an old road bike. Let me talk about an old road bike versus a new road bike. If you can find an old road bike, like an old steel road bike, I just picked one up. I got another one now. I can't wait to get out and ride that thing. Still kind of waiting for my legs to come back because it's got a little bit more aggressive gearing on it, and I need some power in my legs, but that's another story. So I picked up an old Marinoni, and that was my very first race bike, and it's all outfitted and ready to go. I just got to take it out for a ride. But the older road bikes sometimes, not always, but sometimes will have more tire clearance on them just because of their design, just because of the way they used to make them years ago. And you can put a wider tire on them. So I've got 28s on that right now, but I think that one's going to take 32s. I don't think that's going to be a problem. That's why I've got a set of 32s on order, because I want to see if I can get some 32s on there and give that a try, because I think I got plenty of clearance. The key is you got to have fork clearance, because as the tire gets wider, it also gets a little higher, so you get a little bit more volume that you have to clear. And the question is not whether or not it fits between the fork blades, but that it doesn't hit the top of the or the bottom of the fork crown. And that would be that would be not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. So anyway, I find that riding on gravel roads with either my cyclocross bike and or my road bike helps me increase my my ability to be able to handle my bike better. It just, you know, there are things that are going to happen on a gravel road which are not going to happen on a tarred road. You may get wander on the front wheel when you get into some soft sand or something like that, and you learn how to approach that and you learn how to deal with it. And the common answer is, when your front end gets in trouble, put more power into the rear end. So you just got to power into it and let the front end go where it needs to go until the bike straightens back out. So don't fight with the front end of the bike and you'll be just fine. So why do you want to ride on this gravel stuff? I mean, what is this all about? Well, first of all, certainly it is very popular right now. It's popular because of the large vehicle crisis that we have in this country right now, and the rudeness of those who drive them. That's weird. Why would anyone become more rude and more aggressive when driving a large vehicle than driving a small vehicle? That's a good question, and I would love to hear the answer for it. I'll bet there's a psychological reason for it. You know, feel bigger, feel more powerful, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? I don't know, but it's... So why do you want to ride gravel? Because it's fun. It really is. You can't ride as fast as you ride on pavement, but who cares about fast? My fast days they're way back there. I don't do that anymore. So, you know, I just like to ride my bike, and I just really enjoy riding my bike. You know, yesterday, Fran and I rode in on gravel on the rail trail, which is gravel out here, and we rode into Willimantic, and we ran a couple of errands, and we went to the coffee shop, and then we rode back home, and it was on gravel, and it was quiet, and it's just beautiful. It's just so gorgeous, especially this time of year. You know, it's warm out, and the leaves are all popping. We went by the heron pond, or the heron bog, I guess I would call it more of a bog, and I don't know, would we count 6 or 7 different nests out there? There's baby herons that are popping out, and it's just cool. It's just totally cool. There's also a huge beaver dam there, and a couple more trees that just eroded and fell down into the dam, so they're all set for a while. They won't have to do any construction there for a long time. And occasionally you'll see the beavers. They get a little upset with you if you get too close to them. They slap their tails on the water, but you get to see nature. It's kind of cool. It's just kind of a cool thing. So, and that's just off of that rail trail. And there's now, you know, more and more groups that are starting to do developmental things. Like last week, I talked to the folks up at Mono Pond, and they're expanding their operation, and they're bringing it right out to the airline trail. They're also looking at the possibility of buying the old Girl Scout camp, which has facilities for camping, so you could go bike packing. And it's right off of the trail, and there's no cars. So that's the thing. There's no cars. Cars don't drive on rail trails. That's a beautiful thing. And fewer people are usually there, so you have a little bit more of the place to yourself sort of thing. It does give you some challenges. You're going to get challenges in endurance and stamina and power. Riding gravel takes a little bit more technique. A hill isn't much on pavement, becomes more challenging on a climb and gravel just because it's slipperier. You know, you're going to have a little bit of wheel skip underneath you, especially if you get out of the saddle, which brings me to when you get out of the saddle, you don't go up and forward, you just go up and kind of shift your weight back. But it just teaches you how to be a much better rider. And once you've ridden off-road long enough, and I can say this for anyone who rides mountain bikes too, riding on the road is a piece of cake because you kind of see things in a different way and you understand handling the bike in a much different way. So I like it. So it expands and it gives you another option and another way to get out and enjoy riding your bike. It oftentimes, if you take a look at a lot of these trails, you'll find that they will, especially if it's a rail trail, that they're flat. They're flatter, let's say. They may have a 2% grade on them, but they really didn't build them with anything more than 2% grade, maybe 3% at the max, because these big trains were pulling lots of weight, and going over hills was not an option. So they carved these trails through, different places, and they, put big bridges up and viaducts, and it's like just to keep it super flat. So it's really pleasant as far as that goes. So you're not dealing with a lot of the huge hills that we deal with. And so oftentimes I'll be out on a ride and I'll be out, as we call it, pounding the hills, because we have a lot of them here. You know, we average about 65 feet per mile out this way. And sometimes I just get to a point where I go, you know what, I'm just really tired and I need to get home. And I look over and I see a trailhead and I go, oh, if I hop on that, I can bring that over to this road and then I'll avoid that hill and that hill. And so you find like you can incorporate it into your ride, and it's kind of nice. It's kind of a nice thing. Riding the roads less traveled, I believe, is what that's called. You're going to be able to increase your power because you're going to use a little bit different technique when you get into the hard and heavy pedaling stuff. So you're going to utilize a little bit more of the power in your legs, which will help you out there. And gravel roads are definitely very quiet with as far as traffic goes. We definitely said that. You can actually ride your gravel bike on easy mountain bike trails too. I've found that I can ride my cross bike most places that I see people are riding their mountain bikes. I don't have too much trouble with it. So anyway, that's just a little bit more on the gravel. I'm always pushing the gravel. I like to push the gravel because we've got a couple of events coming up here soon locally. One is the Thread City Cyclers Quiet Corner Ride, which has an 18-mile gravel ride on it. And then the other is the Steeplechase Bike Tour, which is, so the Thread City ride is in July, and the Steeplechase will be in August. And the Steeplechase, I've also expanded the 18-mile ride to an additional 40-mile ride that you can take. So you got choices of how far you want to go. And the 40-mile ride, it's 90% dirt roads. And then there's about 10% where you got to get on the pavement and get from one spot to another spot. But it's beautiful. And you won't see cars. You just won't see cars. That's the beauty of it all. So anyway, yeah, gravel bikes, gravel roads, I like them a lot. I think it's kind of a newfound thing, but it's something that I've known for a long time, and I'm glad that that the popularity of it has grown, because people are learning a lot more about how to ride their bike, and they're becoming better riders because of it. So anyway, there's a lot of different forums on this. Trainer Road has a forum about, you know, being concerned about, you know, how you're riding an average bike or the any impact for benefit for riding on a dirt road. And there's a lot of things that are definitely there. I have discovered that this person says even in their lowest gear and trying to spin, hitting those steep climbs, he ends up grinding out a hill and cadence drops from 90 to 70-ish, sometimes in the 50s when it gets really, really steep. Seems every gravel hill is a 12% grade for the last 20 feet of a climb. It's just kind of a laugh out loud. But, you know, what you also start learning is that, you know, maybe it's time to put a little bit lower gears on your bike. And I have done that. I've made some major modifications on my cross bike. And I have a very, very tiny gear, which I'm using a lot more now than I used to, primarily because I've lost the power in my legs due to this pharmaceutical nightmare I'm going through. And until I gain it back, I can't really push hard on the hills like I used to. I used to be able to, you know, put it down to 70 RPMs, get out of the saddle and, you know, rock the bike and climb and go, go, go. But I've had to readjust my cadence. And when you get on the loose gravel, if you run the high cadence, you can get up things a lot easier than you can if you're trying to push and grind the bike up the hill. So because you don't have the same traction on the rear wheel that you would have on a paved road. So it's changing my riding style a little bit, which is good, because that's the riding style I used to have back in the days that I was considered fast. I'll just leave it at that. And I used to be a much faster spinner than I am today. I tend to have lost some of my cadence, and I don't know if that's because of laziness or you know, just you know, lack of riding as aggressively as I used to. But anyway, it's good. So you just lower your gears. You spin a little bit more, and you can go up most anything. It's really kind of amazing. And so, anyway, I think that it's important to have the lower gears on the bike, do the modifications you need to do to get the bike down there. I've got stupid low gears on my cross bike right now, but I still have the outside chainring on the bike. It's still big enough to be fast enough when I'm riding in a cross situation to be more than enough, especially if you keep your cadence high. If you keep your cadence high, you can do a lot. You definitely can. So anyway, that's what we got on the gravel road thing here. What else have I got here? Oh yeah, I got some more fun stuff going on here. So we're going to go on into our content, which is kind of started with our mechanical minute and tips for the week. And I'm going to add one more thing here, and it's going to be riding with radar. I'm so sold. I am just so sold. It just makes such a huge difference to be able to know what's going on behind you. And I cannot find I just find it to be a wonderful way of being safe on the road. Everyone worries about being safe on the road. We worry about the behemoth, the advent of the behemoth. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit too. You know, the thing is, if you're dealing with technology that is getting larger on the road behind you and becoming more technologically available to the driver of said vehicle, to the fact that they don't pay as much attention, then you have to have the technology back. And I got to tell you, cycling radar is the way to go. It's a huge difference. I do use a mirror now too. I've definitely broken down. It's a very small mirror, but it's just enough so I can see what's going on behind me. And it's a very good mirror, so it's got high quality to it. And that combination of having the ability to have radar behind me, which lets me know, you know, what's coming up behind me, how many cars are coming up behind me, it's game changer. Total game changer. I find myself riding out in the middle of the road more when I'm on a back road, on back country road, and there's no one coming up from behind me. Then I just get out more towards the center line of the road. I put myself in the same position on my bike that I would be in the driver's seat of a car. That gives me more visibility to the front as a car is coming towards me, which generally tends to slow them down when they see you out there. And it also gives me the ability to then make a very suggested moving over when there's a car coming from behind and there's room for them to go around me. It's kind of a silent communication. It works really well, and I can see them generally almost always before they see me. And so that's kind of cool too. I love radar on my bike. Enhanced safety is unbelievable. The improved awareness is incredible. If you're on a group ride and you're leading a group ride and you go out to the center of the road, you can pick up the car besides the bikes behind you, and then you can guide everyone over to the side into either a single or double line. And it just changes communication completely. And then there's so much more integration with smart devices, with either your computer or your phone or anything that you have on your handlebars that you're looking at. So it just like I said, it changes the game, and it makes the game a whole lot easier. You're now collaborating with the cars, okay, instead of having to battle with them and have them sneak up behind you and then blow their horn really loud, and that, which is a very offensive thing for them to do. You just have a much better scope on what's going on. Autonomous cycling. As autonomous vehicle technology continues to advance, cycling radars could play a crucial role in enabling the future of autonomous cycling. Cyclists may have an option to let their bikes take over control in certain situations. I would never want that, number one, but that's okay. But if you're in heavy traffic, it may be a safer way of doing it. Cycling radars could essentially be essential for ensuring the safety of autonomous cycling by detecting and avoiding obstacles also. Just pay attention when you ride your bike, please. That's the beauty of riding your bike. You kind of have to pay attention. You don't have a lot of choice. But I think that the future of the radar is good. What I'd rather see is, if I have radar on my bike, I'd rather know that my radar was communicating with the vehicle behind me, that it was, if someone could come up with, and I've mentioned this before on the show, if someone could come up with a way to make the radar talk to the computer in the car and let the car know that there's a cyclist ahead, that would be another game changer, a very big game changer. So all you software engineers out there, all you app geeks out there, we're waiting. And I know a lot of you ride bikes. I do know that for a fact. So let's see if we can improve this technology even a little bit more. I'm sure the folks at Garmin are working on it right now, because they kind of started the whole radar craze. So anyway, I have to keep touching base on the radar, because I really do believe, I talk to a lot of people on this show. I've had a bunch of people that have written back to me, and they say, you know, I love your show and all, but I just don't ride on the road anymore. It's just not safe. I just don't find it to be safe. I'm trying to convince you that it really is safe. You just have to change the way you approach it. And yeah, your roads with names, not numbers. That's a biggie. I'll say that over and over and over again. The more rural the road is, the safer you will be. The more you ride through a neighborhood, the safer you will be. So if, you know, going down the block to the traffic light and then making a left and going down that next busy road on that road is avoided by maybe taking a turn and going through a few neighborhood roads, maybe slowing down a little bit, no big deal. You're going to get there. You're still out riding your bike. You're still enjoying it. You can get around a lot of the busier roads if you just use the old noggin here. And a ride with GPS or a mapping tool of some sort is just great for helping you with that sort of thing. Once you learn your area, you start learning a little bit more about the roads that are there and that can be offered for you. So anyway, let's move on to I had another thing here I just wanted to bring up, and let's see if I can find it here. That is not what I was looking for. Okay, so there's a Congressional Watchdog. I talked about this earlier in the show, and this is from Streets Blog, and it was another article by Kia Wilson, who has a lot of good stuff like this. And Congress has launched an investigation into whether America's limited vehicle standards are driving the rise in deaths of vulnerable road users. Well, duh. Jeez, what does it take? people dying. That's what it takes. Very, very simple. And what it will take to finally stop automakers from selling cars that countless studies show are disproportionately likely to kill pedestrians, cyclists, and other people outside of the vehicles. They're always so worried about what the person inside the vehicle is, if they're safe. And that contributes to aggressive driving. Well, I know I drive too fast, but you know what? My car will save me. No, bad answer. Because you're going to have to get around a cyclist or a pedestrian at some point, and they may be in the right. As a matter of fact, most of the time they are. And so, you know, that's a thing. So this review is by the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, and it was requested by Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, who noted that both pedestrian and cycling deaths have recently reached record highs in the United States, an appalling exception among developed countries and that have far less bloodshed. The ever-growing stain on our national reputation is partially attributed to our ever-growing cars, trucks, and SUVs, some experts will argue. Between 1993 and 2003, the average vehicle on the U.S. roads swelled by 1,000 pounds while simultaneously getting 4 inches wider, 10 inches longer, and 8 inches taller. And that's driven by the increased sales of pickup trucks and SUVs. Since 1975, 7% increase with pickup trucks, 9% increase with minivans and vans, and then they got some other stats go up to as high as 29%. So it's just really, really sad and almost criminal that we're allowed to build a vehicle in this country that is perfectly safe for the driver of the vehicle, but completely unsafe for anyone outside the vehicle. I'm going to point my finger to the number one culprit in the country, which is the number one selling vehicle in the country, which is the Ford F-150 pickup truck. All I ask you to do is walk into the Ford dealer and stand next to the hood of a Ford F-150 pickup truck. If you're my size, I'm about 5'8", okay? My shoulder is at the same height as the top of the hood of that vehicle. That's pretty high, okay? That's quite a ways up there. So if I am impacted by that, the first thing that's going to hit that truck is going to be my head. It's going to drop right into it because I'm right there. So wear your helmet. But if you're a pedestrian, pedestrians don't wear helmets. And those are the people that are really dying here. And 18% of pedestrian deaths could be avoided just by capping the hood height of passenger trucks and SUVs at the level of a moderate crossover. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, there's a lot of research here that shows the design of cars and trucks, including the height and geometry of the vehicle and their weight, all come to affect the safety of vulnerable users on the road. And Raskin told StreetsBlog, as cars have gotten bigger, blind zones have gotten bigger, and that increases the chances that drivers may inadvertently strike and kill a pedestrian. These are design problems, and we should get the best research available to solve them. So, you know, big shout out to Senator Raskin on this. This is great. He said his letter was inspired in part by losing his own cousin in a Florida crash, as well as the traffic death of his constituent, Sarah DeBink Langenkamp. We talked about her on a past show, a decorated diplomat who was killed while cycling home from her son's school in Bethesda in 2022. In the wake of her loss, lawmakers like Raskin fought to pass legislation bearing her name, including a bill Raskin introduced to help states get more federal money to complete protected bike lane networks, and a Maryland state bill to increase penalties on drivers who hit cyclists in bike lanes or shoulders. Family members who have lost ones through traffic collisions and injuries are really are a really important force for change, Raskin added. I want to salute the Langenkamps and every family in this situation who helped convert the nightmare tragedy of this kind of road violence into the energy for positive change and reform. So, yeah, let's hear it for what's going on. We're going to keep our eyes on this one and see, you know, if we do actually go forward. It can be a long and timely project. It takes a long time to get things like this done. But, you know, it's just things have got to change. You know, these big pillars on the front of the cars and trucks now that hold the windshield and separate the windshield from the front door of the car, you can't see anything with them there. They're huge. They're in your way. And they completely create a blind spot when you are driving down the road and you can see a pedestrian or you can see a cyclist, and then for a moment you don't see them because you've got this big block of steel in your way and you can't see anything through it. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they're there for a structural reason, which helps protect the driver of the vehicle and the passengers of the vehicle and the inside, but there's got to be a better way. Got to be a better way. I'm sure there is. If it's unfortunate that it comes to lawsuits and force that make this happen, but anyway, I thought I would bring this up because I saw it pass through my desk, and I just think it's a great thing. Speaking of politics and bicycles and legislation, Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, boy, you are on my you-know-what list. Not a good thing. She made a last-minute decision to block congestion pricing in Manhattan. It was also a major setback for other cities like Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles that were closely watching the New York experiment. Yeah, there was going to be an extra congestion pricing for bringing your car into deep into the city, because they have so many problems with, you know, this is an obvious situation. The cars got bigger, the trucks got bigger, and now they have a congestion problem. Is anyone paying attention? Does anyone out there have an ounce of common sense as to why this is not a good idea? Most of those vehicles will be driven by or passengered by one person only. It's not necessary. It's really not necessary. You don't need a big car to do that. You really don't. You need a nice e-bike to do that, and you can get around much easier. You can create a lot less congestion. I went up to the mayor of Willimantic 2 weeks ago at the rail trail ride, and he saw the 110 people that showed up for this event, and I looked at him and I said, Tom, I said, the future of this town is right here, right now, right in front of you. Bicycles are the answer. We can change everything about your town by just making it more and more bicycle friendly. It does it. It just does it. It does it automatically. Commerce increases. Parking issues go away. Why? Because you can put 10 bicycles in the same space that you can put one large truck. Maybe even more in with a large truck. It just, you know, and 10 people on bicycles will fill a cafe a lot better than one person in an oversized pickup truck, right? Yeah, think about that. Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna rant about this forever. It's definitely it's a near and dear thing with me. I'm just not super happy with it, and there's so much more here. Anyway, we're gonna run out of time if I don't pay attention to this, and I wanted to get into some Tour de Suisse results and talk a little bit about that. So we've got Adam Yates won the Tour of Switzerland. He won it by 22 seconds. He was followed very closely by his teammate. These are both UAE Team Emirates riders, with same riders that are riding for Tadej Pogacar, and that was Jay Amaldia, and they were 22 seconds apart. The next closest rider was from LIDL Trek, and he was 3 minutes behind. and Egan Bernal from Enos Grenadiers with 312 behind. And then, this is an interesting one, a rider from Israel Premier Tech. Okay? This is Matthew Risatello from the United States, was 3 minutes and 31 seconds behind. I want to take just a moment to talk about Matthew because I went, who the heck is this guy? And I, you know, here we go. I didn't know. I had no idea who he was. So I looked him up and now I just lost him. Where did he go here? Matthew. So Matthew Risatello was born March 5th, 2002, and he's an American professional road cyclist who rides for the UCI Pro Team Israel Premier Tech. All right. In 2019, he was second in the time trial National Junior Road Championships and second overall in the Tour de l'Abitibi. He was the first young rider in classification. He was fifth overall in the Grand Prix of Rouleband, seventh overall in the Tour de Pays de Vaud. He's just like this kid is, he's on the radar, but I missed him completely. He was fourth overall in the Tour de l'Avenir in 2023. That's huge. He was fifth overall in the Tour de Suisse, of course. And so who is this kid? He's 22 years old. I watched an interview with him, and he's from Tucson, Arizona. And he's, get this, hang on tight, folks. You want to know what it takes to climb fast? Here's how you do it. He's 5'8", 121 pounds. There's nothing to him, but he climbs like the wind. He's amazing and really, really fun to watch. He's, you know, he's just a little skinny guy, rides a bike. So, you know, if you're concerned about being a little skinny guy or a little skinny girl out there that feels like everybody's picking on you because you're, guess what? You could ride a bike, and you could ride a bike better than everybody else could ride a bike because it's all about strength to weight ratio. So anyway, I just thought this was interesting, and I'm going to follow him now because I had no idea. In 2023, he finished 56th in the Giro d'Italia. We'll see where he goes with the Tour de France. I mean, this is, you know, it's probably going to eventually happen. We're going to see a lot more of this guy. I'm pretty psyched. So another young American doing well in European pro racing. Kind of cool to see. It's starting to happen. We have a revolution of cyclists that are happening here in this country, which is really, really cool. Let's see here. What else do I have? I got one more quick thing I just want to talk about before we move on to finishing things up and events. The founders by GCN, these guys, Global Cycling Network, back from Warner Brothers Discovery. Warner Brothers Discovery has sold Play Sports Network, the parent of cycling website GCN, back to its founders, Simon Ware and Mio Walter. Let's see here. Warner Brothers Discovery is retaining a minority share of Play Sports Network, which is based in Bath, United Kingdom. WBD also retains the television rights for cycling events previously streamed on GCN, which closed last fall. And they also moved the events from GCN to Warner Brothers owned platforms, including Eurosport, Discovery, and Max. That's how we saw the Giro this year, was on Max. GCN has continued to produce articles, feature videos shown on its website, YouTube channel, and other social networks. Ware and Walter were among founders of Play Sports Network in 2013. Discovery, before its merger with Warner Brothers, acquired a majority share of Play Sports Network in 2019, having previously acquired a minority share in 2017. So it's going back. And it says here, Play Sports Network will continue to operate its cycling brands, delivering digital content across YouTube, its websites, and other social platforms. And Warner Brothers Discovery maintains its focus on world-class live cycling coverage through Eurosport on linear television and its streaming services like Max and Discovery, offering the widest range of men's and women's races anywhere, including more than 1,000 cycling broadcasts per year. So That's kind of interesting. They gave it a shot. They went for it. I love those guys. They're just so entertaining, so much fun to watch. Lots of cycling knowledge there. And I hope that they can do something with getting control back of their organization, because it's just a really, really cool thing. So we are going to be following up with this stuff all next week, because I'm running out of time. Events, it's event time. Yeah, it is. It is. The Quiet Corner Bike Tour, presented by the Thread City Cyclers, is coming up on Sunday, July 28th, 2024. All rides will start and finish at Garrison Park in Chaplin, Connecticut. There's a 102, a 64, a 40, and a 20-mile road ride, and an 18-mile gravel loop. So that will be on Bike Reg if you're looking for it, and it is called the Quiet Corner Bike Tour. Okay, check that out. The 2024 Steeplechase Bike Ride Walk is on Saturday, August 17th. Road rides will include a 20-mile, a 35-mile, and a 62-mile ride. Gorgeous roads, rural, pretty, nice, well-supported. There's a 5-mile fundraising walk with an option to shorten that if you can't go all the way. That walk will go through 9 or 10 parks in Willimantic, which most people don't even know exist, which is kind of another cool thing, so you'll learn a little bit along the way. And then there will be, in addition to last year's 18-mile gravel ride, there's also going to be an additional 40-mile gravel route available. 90% dirt roads and trails. Nice, huh? Yeah. Project Mayhem Cyclocross. Just got out of a meeting last week on that. It's moving forward. We now have 8, I believe, cyclocross events tied into this. It's growing. There's a lot of interest here. There's a lot of kind of cool stuff that you can, there's some cool merch that we're working on. It's going to be fun. The whole idea is just make it fun, and Mansfield Hall Cyclocross will be on the list of that, of those events. So I'm really looking forward to that, and looking forward to working with the guys in the cross world and trying to get this thing to build, maybe get a little bit bigger and bring cross back up a level to where it was before COVID. That'd be really nice. So, finishing points. Okay, so our finishing points are very basic here. How do you feel about these gigantic cars? Not so good, huh? How do you feel about Governor Kathy Hochul and her idea of, you know, nixing the whole idea of putting an extra tax on people that were doing the congestion tax, I guess is what it was. I'm not so big on it. And hey, let's keep our eyes open. The Tour de France is coming. There's a lot of stuff going on. Tadej Pogačar's got a killer team he's bringing to the Tour. That team that was in the Tour de Suisse was kind of the warm-up team for what is going to go on there. If he comes back at the strength he comes back, that's going to be a big deal. And we'll see. I mean, there are other players. There are definitely other players. And there are predictions from others as to the fact that, you know, Tadej won't be strong enough to be able to pull it off. But we'll see. I don't know. He's a very talented rider. Very, very talented rider. So anyway, that's what I got. So it's Tour de France. It's coming up. So 2024, you're going to ride more miles, you're going to ride to commute to work or around town, you're going to looking for better fitness, or are you simply enjoying the bike rides more by taking slowing down and smelling the roses? And the wild roses are out right now. It's awesome. Anyway, or simply enjoying the bike rides you take. I will say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and ride your bicycle instead. Take a day off and park your car or truck. Use your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Franz Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, leave some comments below, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Run. Remember, keep that rubber side down. And the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Get on your bikes and ride!